welcome you to our Sabbath morning broadcast. And we do sincerely thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast and to this message from the Word of God. Remember, please, our testimony month. It continues again this evening, 6:30. Mr. Andrew Foster, missionary to Uganda, will be testifying for us. We invite you to listen to that testimony. And we encourage you also to share it with as many other people as possible. Next Sabbath evening, in the will of the Lord, the Reverend Alan Smiley, the minister of our Ballygown congregation, will be giving a word of testimony for us. So please remember all these testimonies. We pray the Lord will speak through them. And we ask for your help just to make them as widely available as possible, so that they might be a means of outreach from our church just at this time. Just to highlight to you that our broadcasts are now also being uploaded onto Sermon Audio. That is a very widely used internet platform. And we want you to be aware of that, that the messages, the broadcasts, are now available on Facebook and on Sermon Audio. And we're also working at the possibility in the future of having them uploaded onto YouTube as well. As a congregation, we want to sympathise with our dear sister, Mrs. Sandra Nugent, on the death of her mother just at the beginning of the week, Mrs. Florence Greenaway. Away back at the beginning of the work here in Armagh, the Greenaways, Florence, and also her late husband, Wilfie, the family came along to the work here in Armagh. So we're greatly saddened to learn of Florence's home calling. And as a congregation, we want to assure our sister Sandra and the whole family circle of our deepest sympathy and prayerful support just at this time of sad loss for them. We're going to come together to the reading of the scriptures. We encourage you to take the word of God and to follow with us in the reading. We're in the New Testament in the book of Acts. It's the Acts of the Apostles, the chapter 6. We're going to read together the opening seven verses of this portion of the Word of God. So let's hear the Lord's word to our hearts today. Acts 1, verse 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So just ending the reading there, at the close of verse 7, and we pray the Lord will bless to every heart that has heard it this, the public reading of his word. Let's just have a brief prayer together to pray for the Lord's speaking voice through his word today. Father, we still our hearts. We're conscious just of the busyness of our days, all of the activities. Your word says, be still and know that I am God. We're glad of the opportunity just to still ourselves for this little while before thee, in thy presence, to sit at thy feet around the precious Word of God. We thank you, Father, for a book that speaks about every situation, every circumstance, every event in life. We want to pray that you'll challenge us today from thy Word. We thank you for the great privilege of being able to seek thee in prayer. And Lord, our cry would be, strengthen our prayer lives. Lead us on at the throne of grace, even as a congregation. Strengthen the prayer life of this church. Remember, Father, those in need today. We remember the Nugent family, that wider family circle especially. Just be near to them at this sad time of loss as they pass through the valley of the shadow of death. And we thank you just for the great hope and comfort that our sister Florence knew the Saviour, and for her it was absent from the body to be present with the Lord. So Father, just abide with us. We pray that you'll draw near now. We pray that you'll give to all that hear this message an Emmaus Road experience. We pray that our hearts will burn within us while you talk with us by the way. So here these are prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse of Scripture that we're taking as our text today is the verse 4 of the passage that we've read from, Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. Let me just read those words to you again. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. It's particularly the first part of the verse where the apostle said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. The theme of the message, we believe it to be timely in the days in which we live, but the theme of the message today is giving ourselves to prayer. We want to stress to you, brethren and sisters, the importance of giving ourselves to prayer at all times, but particularly in these days of pandemic. Here in this passage of Scripture, we read of the church being multiplied. I want you just to think of that, just take it in. In other words, what is recorded here is that there was a time of great blessing upon the church in Jerusalem. The church was growing, and it was growing in very large numbers. I want you to stop for a moment and ask the question, what was the secret of that growth and of that blessing? Can I point out, it was not new facilities, because remember, they didn't have any buildings. They had no purpose-built church facilities. Nor was it the technology. Technology has its place. We're very thankful for the technology in these days of lockdown. But remember again, the early church didn't have any of the technology that is available to us today. It wasn't the fact that they relaxed their standards. It wasn't any new methods that they introduced into the program of the church. The secret of their growth and the secret of their blessing was this. It was earnest prayer. And we need to see that, brethren and sisters. We need to learn that lesson afresh today. Here's a church that really gave themselves to prayer, really gave themselves to seeking God, to pleading with the Lord for his blessing to be poured out bountifully upon them. And I want to urge you today, want to suggest to you earnestly, strongly, that we need to follow that example. So brethren and sisters, at this time of crisis, time of not just national but international crisis, here is something that is vital to the Christian and vital to the witness of the Christian church. We need to give ourselves to prayer. So I want us to consider for just a few minutes what we learn about that vital subject here in our text, the verse 4, but in the passage as a whole also. The first thing I'll emphasize is the duty to pray. Look at the words again of verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. One of the first lessons that we learn here is one of the great lessons that is stressed in this verse and in this passage for us is the duty of prayer. The great importance, brethren and sisters, of prayer. Prayer in the life of the child of God and prayer in the life of the church itself. Just let me point out to you, let me remind you, that prayer is an essential mark that you're truly converted and that you truly are a child of God. Here the church and the apostles especially have been really giving themselves to prayer. There have been special seasons. There have been prolonged periods of prayer. They're setting us a very clear, a very challenging example in that. And the reality, men and women, let me just apply that to your own heart and life. The reality is that you may have many duties. You may have many responsibilities pressing in upon you. But here is the most important duty of the Christian life. Here is something that every one of us that profess the name of Christ need to give a priority to. Giving yourselves to prayer. Or as the verse teaches, giving themselves continually to seeking the Lord's face in prayer. Remember, the Savior taught the same. He said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Think of the words of the New Testament, pray without ceasing. So there's clear emphasis continually in the Scriptures of the need to continually give ourselves to prayer. Can I say, if you hold office, if you hold position in the church, if you're a worker in any of the departments of the work of God, and remember you're saved to serve, you ought to be involved in some way in the testimony and witness of the church. But if you're a worker, if you hold a position, that you especially have a duty to pray for the blessing of God to be poured out upon the work and witness of the congregation. You especially have a duty to set an example to other believers in the local congregation. Andrew Bonner, and I encourage you to read the diary of Andrew Bonner printed by the Banner of Truth. It's very challenging. It's one of the most challenging devotional books that you will ever read. Andrew Bonner said that prayer is the work of the ministry. It is the work of the church. It's not that we pray about the witness of the church. It's not that we pray about the ministry. Prayer is the work. And that, brethren and sisters, puts it in an entirely different light. It puts prayer on an entirely different level. Remember what the Savior said, quoting from the Old Testament scriptures, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Not a house of preaching, not a house of praise. And all of those have prominent and important parts in the witness, the ministry of the church. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. That's the main business, first and foremost, above all else. Think of Paul's words to young Timothy, young man setting out in the ministry. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, prayers, intercessions, supplications, giving of thanks be made for all men. He's saying to us, first of all, prayer should be there at the very top of the list as far as your life and as far as the work of the church is concerned. Think of what the Savior said about Mary. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. What was the one thing that was needful? It was waiting upon God. It was sitting there before the Lord, sitting in His presence, listening to His word. So brethren and sisters, we need to see that. We need to be convinced. We need to have a new conviction of the importance of prayer, of seeking the Lord at the throne of grace. There's an old hymn that asks the question, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? If you didn't, if you left your room, left your home in such a hurry that you had no time to talk to the Lord, that's a great tragedy. And it's no wonder that there's no blessing or very little blessing upon your life and upon your witness. Let me point out to you how it has often been summed up. There are many organizers, but there are few agonizers. That's true of every church. There are many who can organize. We thank God for those who have that gift. But there are so few who are agonizers. And I wonder, are you one of the few? Think of the first question ever asked in the Bible. We considered it a few Sabbaths ago, a number of weeks ago. Where art thou? The Lord came into the garden, calling to Adam, to Eve, with that question. So where art thou? Especially, where are you with regard to your prayer life? The time that you spend on your knees before the Lord. The reality, brethren and sisters, we need the Lord to speak to us about this matter. We need the Lord to burden us. And I pray the Lord might burden you about your prayers, about your prayer life, about the time that you spend seeking the Lord at the throne of grace. So the duty to pray. Notice as well, we learn here about the disturbances to pray. If you look at the end of verse 2, it says, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God. See, the apostles were disturbed from their vital work, their vital ministry. And the reality is, if God is blessing, as he was here in a great way, if God is blessing, you can be sure the devil will be working. The devil will be attacking the believer and attacking the work of the church. You can be absolutely certain of that, brethren and sisters. And today, in the day in which we live, the devil is attacking the prayer times of the child of God. He's attacking the prayer times, the prayer meetings of the church. Why is that? Well, it's because he knows the importance, the great importance of the prayers, the prayer life of the Christian and of the Church of Christ. In Acts, the book of Acts, the opening chapters, especially chapters 4 through to 6, you find there the church being attacked in different ways. It was first of all attacked by the authorities, the local authorities, the religious and the civic authorities there in Jerusalem. It was also attacked by ambition, the ambition of some of its own members from within. It was also attacked, as it is here in this sixth chapter, by a matter of administration. So what we learn from that, brethren and sisters, is the devil uses all sorts of means. He uses different strategies as he seeks to hinder and attack the work of God. But he especially wants to attack the prayer times, the prayer meetings of the child of God. And I want to urge you today, don't help, don't assist the devil in that task and in that attack. Remember, God was blessing. The work was advancing. So the devil wanted to hinder, he wanted to stop that work. And brethren and sisters, that is still the devil's policy today. He wants to hinder the work of God in your community, in your congregation. He wants to hinder the work of God in this land, this province of ours that has been so blessed of God. There's another old hymn that says, the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. So you think of the effect it would have upon the devil and the powers of darkness if many of God's people were found upon their knees, earnestly, fervently, seeking the blessing of God. So brethren and sisters, get a picture of it today. The devil will want to do what he can to stop you praying. We learn that in the Word of God. Think of Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord, and Satan is at his right hand to resist him. Just think of that. Here's the high priest of Israel. He's standing in the holy place, standing in a sacred meeting, in a very sacred place. And the devil is at his right hand to resist him. He opposes prayer, brethren and sisters. You think of what Paul said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Sadly, sometimes we're very careless and apathetic about the ploys and the fiery darts of the wicked one. Remember, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And that's one of the great relevances and importances of this passage of Scripture that is before us. Here we have revealed to us, here we learn how the devil works, what the devil will do in his attempts to hinder the work and witness of a local congregation. He will try to disturb your quiet time. He will try to disturb the prayer meetings. He will try to disturb your plans on prayer meeting night to hinder you from getting to the place of prayer. He will seek to do all he can to divert you from seeking the Lord at the throne of grace and giving yourself to prayer. So here's something that you need to be on the lookout with regard to. You need to guard against such attacks and such strategies of the devil in your own life and in your own church. And as well, we need determination, brethren and sisters, when those attacks come. We need to be those, as Paul said to the Corinthians, who are steadfast and unmovable. So here the apostles were disturbed. That was the reality. Because their times of prayer were stopped. And the devil used a trivial, a mundane thing, serving tables, a matter of hospitality. That's what he used to stop these apostles in their work and in their ministry. So do you see how subtle, how crafty the devil is? What a warning that sounds so clearly to all of our hearts today. Let's just take a moment to ask the question, what is disturbing your prayer life? What is it that is diverting you from spending that time on your knees before God that you should? Is it money? Business? You're so worldly that you give the priority to the things of this world? You love money more than the master? You love silver more than supplications? Is it strife that's hindering your prayer life, hindering you seeking the Lord as you should? Strife in the home? Maybe strife with some other brother, some other sister, some other family in the church? Brethren and sisters, you need to realize what the devil wants to do is disturb, divert, distract. He wants to distract you from the throne of grace. He wants to get you away from the place of prayer. And he will do that by whatever means he can. Remember the exhortation of the Savior speaking on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, you're to go into your closet and shut the door. In other words, shut out the world. Shut out the problems. Shut out the disturbances. And shut yourself in with God. So understand today, brethren and sisters, that your times of prayer, those private, those sacred times of prayer, the family altar, the church prayer meeting, all of those things are vital because they allow you, they enable you to close out the distractions and the disturbances of this life, and they allow you time to shut yourself in with God. They allow you time to give yourself to prayer as you ought as a child of the Lord. There's one other thing we learn here from this passage. We thought of the duty and the disturbances. Think of the delegation to pray. Look again at verses 3 and 4. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles teach us here a lesson, a vital lesson in the art of delegation. It is an important lesson, and the reality is many need to learn it. The devil disturbed them. We've highlighted that. We've focused on it for a little while. But even more than that, brethren and sisters, the devil wanted the apostles to sort out this problem. In other words, he wanted to take them away from the preaching. He wanted to take them away from the praying for a prolonged period of time. But the apostles, the disciples, in their wisdom, discerned. They saw through this ploy of the devil. And what they did with the wisdom God endowed them with at that time was they gave the task, they gave the job to others, that task of serving tables, that task of ministration, of hospitality. They delegated it to others. They started a new office. They started the office of the deacon in the New Testament church. Remember that the deacons look after the material aspect of the local congregation. The elders focus on the spiritual aspect of the witness. That's the difference between the two main offices in any local congregation. The deacons, the committee men, look after, focus on the material side of things, whereas the elders, the bishops, who are the overseers of the church, they focus on the spiritual aspect of the church. And the idea of the deacons looking after the material things is to allow the elders, to allow the minister more time for the spiritual work. And it's vital to see that, brethren and sisters, as we have the clear example, the clear teaching of it here in this passage. The apostles delegated this task not to take the raise, not so that they could have more free time to themselves, but so that they could give themselves more to prayer. And I want to plead with you to do the same. Some Christians have the idea, nobody else can do this job, nobody else can do this task, nobody else can do this work but me. Let me emphasize to you that is pride. That's thinking more highly of yourselves than you ought. If you were seriously sick and laid aside, or if the Lord saw fit to call you from this scene of time, someone else would have to do that work and have to do that task, and maybe even do it in a far better way than you're doing it yourself. What we need to learn is to disciple others. I want to urge you to be an encourager. Get others involved in the work. Put others to work in the Church of Jesus Christ. The sad thing is many Christians have far too much on their plate. Far too much on their plate to have time to pray. Pray as they should. And maybe you're one of those Christians. You can be trying to do too much. And I pray the Lord might show that to you. Maybe you need to realize that at this stage in your life. What you learn here, men and women, from the example of the apostles, is you don't have to do everything in the witness of the church yourself. In fact, you can't. Need to see that. All of us need to understand that. We can't do everything ourselves in the work of the church. We must delegate. Must delegate at home, must delegate at work, and we must delegate in the church as well. Think of that great example of Moses' father-in-law. We highlighted it recently in another study on stress. Jethro, he pointed out to Moses by what he was doing, trying to do everything, you'll wear out yourself. And you need to remember that, brethren and sisters. His advice to Moses at that time was, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. Moses had to learn to delegate the work and responsibility, and so must you and I. So remember, brethren and sisters, if you're too busy to pray, then you are too busy. If you're too busy for your quiet time, if you're too busy to spend time in prayer every day, if you're too busy to be at the prayer meeting, then you have to face the fact that you are too busy. The lesson here is, don't allow yourself to be so busy. Don't allow yourself to be so busy that you can't seek the face of the Lord. I want to urge you to lighten the load. Learn to delegate a little, especially so that you're able to give yourself more to seeking the Lord in prayer. Notice, let me just emphasize this. Here in the early church in Jerusalem, they pushed everything else out, everything else that was a threat to prayer. And the result of that was they saw the church multiplied as far as conversions, as far as a work of God was concerned. And if we had the same determination to give ourselves to prayer as they did, as they set us the example here, then we would experience the same blessing that they did to you, even in this dark, difficult, wicked day in which we live. And I urge you to take that to heart. Just in conclusion, I want to encourage you to read the life of the Reverend W.P. Nicholson. If you've never ever done that before, remember that Dr. Barnes wrote a lovely little biography of Mr. Nicholson. I commend it to you. On one occasion, a person came to Mr. Nicholson's home to talk with him. Mr. Nicholson was at home at the time, but his wife told the person that they couldn't see him. The man couldn't understand why he couldn't see and speak with Mr. Nicholson until his wife showed him the door of the room where Mr. Nicholson was. There was a sign on that door, and the sign read, "In conference with God for 3 days." He had shut himself in, shut out the world. He was giving himself to prayer, earnest, continual prayer, as is taught here in this verse. And that, men and women, brethren and sisters, That was the secret of his ministry. That was the secret of his usefulness. That was the secret of his of the great blessing that attended to his life and to his work. So, brethren and sisters, let me say to you, just as a finish, we allow ourselves to be so easily diverted. Here's a vital message. Here's a vital example. We need to give ourselves to prayer, especially in these very challenging days, these days of a great international pandemic. Here's a great responsibility that we have as Christians. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So pray the Lord will bless His Word. Write it upon every heart that hears this message. Let's just have a brief prayer as we close. Father, we feel our need, our emptiness. We do feel our weakness. We cry to Thee, lead us on with Thyself. Pour out Your Spirit. We need the power of God. We need greater help. We recognize, Father, our emptiness. We pray, pour out the Spirit of prayer upon us as a people in these days. Pour out the Spirit of prayer upon this church. Come and quicken our prayer lives. Lord, come and bless our prayer meetings when we have the opportunity to meet again, to seek Thee collectively. But even as we pray with our families and our homes at this time, Lord, hear our cries. And we ask Thee to lead us on with Thee at the throne of grace. We pray that You'll make us all to be mighty men and women of prayer. Grant us answers to prayer even at this time. Lord, let us see Thee at work. We pray that You'll come and visit this province. Come and visit this city of Armagh. Come down, we cry, in mighty power upon it. So, Father, hear these our prayers. And now may the blessing of the triune God, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be our abiding portion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.